Ephesians chapter 1, and if you turn there in your Bible, it's great to have your Bibles open. We are considering verse 3 today. We are going to take how long to get through Ephesians? The second week in Ephesians, and we're already doing verse 3. Wow. And that verse says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Praise be, or blessed be, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would impress on our hearts such a rich topic, the truth that you've blessed us. We are yours. And I pray that you'd give us understanding and open the eyes of our hearts so that we can comprehend this wonderful truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We have this little game that's going on in the church. Not everybody's aware of it. But for the last few weeks, I've gotten this out early. You've taken note of that, I hope, because we call that credit. So then if it happens that, I might go after, it's 11:33 already, and this is, I don't know, it's only one verse. We'll see if I use any of my credit today. Something Kathy and I do when we drive to Boise is listen to Christian radio. And there's a number of stations, and there's a couple especially that we like listening to. But two or three. But on the Christian radio, there's something that disturbs me. And it's an advertisement. And it's an advertisement for a church. And that's not what disturbs me. I don't think it's wrong to let people know that you're meeting, and we have our sign out here, and we pass the word along that we have church at 10:30 and so on. But there's something disturbing about this particular advertisement, because the pastor explains what the church offers. And then at the end of it, this is the part that I wonder, I don't know your heart, pastor, and I don't want to talk badly about any pastor, but why do you say this? He says, "Come and get your blessing." Why do you say that? What I just read was, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I'm afraid, to me, and you might hear it totally different, but to me, it sounds like trying to reach out to consumers. Come and we'll make you feel good. Come and we'll get you something that'll just be the real deal that you can light your fire for the rest of the week. There's a whole lot of books written about Christian consumers and appealing to the more base natures. But I compared that to an invitation that was given on a snowmobile ride. And we had fellows that rode with us that didn't know the Lord yet, some of them. But a group from the church would ride snowmobiles in the winter. And there was something that was repeated for years after it happened, because it so impressed one of these fellows. One of these men, one of the church guys, said to one that was not part of the church guys, and he said, "Why don't you come and worship with us?" And he said, "I've never been asked that before. I'd never heard an invitation to worship. People had invited me to church, but it's kind of like, I got one." But if you come to worship, nobody takes the credit for that because you've come to worship God. Isn't that amazing? What a difference from reaching out to a consumer and reaching out to a person who needs the Lord, who's ready to worship, to come and bow before the Creator. Wow. Don't get me wrong, God has done great things for us. But because of who He is and what He has done, our reasonable response is to thank and praise Him. And that's what the Bible directs us to do today. We are to live for the pleasure of one. We're to live for the pleasure of the Lord. So, I answered the question the way most people do today when people came in the church and they said, "Well, how are you?" What did you say when someone said to you, "How are you?" What did you say? Good? Fine? Blessed? Here? A lot of things, a lot of ways to answer that. And one of the ways that we answer it is not to make someone feel uncomfortable, right? If you say, "I'm fine." Now, if you really weren't feeling very well, and someone said, "Well, how are you today?" They'd say, "Oh, man, my stomach hurts. My knee got sprained. I think I'm just gimping along today." Oh, man, that makes them feel uncomfortable. Now what do you say? How do you follow that one up with some off-the-wall comment, probably? Can we think of the question in different terms? And this is what I was trying. You know, this is going to be difficult because we're so set into a pattern that thinking of things differently and giving different answers takes a little bit of thinking. And we're not always ready to do something different. But I'm offering it here. I'm offering this. Think of the question in different terms. And what I would suggest, when someone asks, "How are you today?" think of the question, "What is your focus today? What are you focusing on today?" Not, "How are you?" That really isn't relevant. Unless a person really wants to help you, counsel you. It's kind of an odd question to ask. "How are you? We want to hear?" Fine. Okay, I can go on. But what is my focus today? "How are you?" Well, I'm really focusing on something. That's what we're going to talk about today. Our focus, we might be thinking to serve, to please the Lord, to live to the glory of God, to rejoice in the Lord today. How am I? I really want to live for the Lord today. It says, "Praise be" in the NIV. You might have "blessed be." A lot of translation. In fact, most translations use that translate the words that way. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." But praise be to the God of our Lord Jesus. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That "praise be" or "blessed be" is the Greek eulogeo. And I got this definition from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. And it means to praise, to celebrate with praises, acknowledging God's goodness with a desire for His glory. Praise be to God. Celebrate with praise. I suppose it's something that I feel awkward at. But one of my responsibilities as a pastor of the church and getting to know various people is at times being asked to write a reference That should be a privilege. Usually I count it a privilege. But there are some people I have to say no. I can't write a reference for you. I don't know you well enough. Or I know you so well that I really haven't anything good to say about you. Do you suppose a person would actually ask someone to write a reference if they thought maybe this is going to be dark and cloudy? But it has happened. But when we think about praising God, that's the kind of thing. We are giving a reference for Him. Praise be to God for the... Boy, we start reading like Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And forget not all His benefits. And start listing His benefits. What has He given me? But praise to Him. He's the source of every good and perfect gift. And we celebrate with praise God. We're giving Him reference for everyone else who wants to know about God, a praise, reference for Him. The Lord God is a central figure in the book of Psalms, and I would encourage you to read it. Someone asked if there was a good Bible reading plan that they could follow. And I was given one by my pastor when the church commissioned Kathy and me to go into ministry. And Pastor Dave had me in his study, and we were talking about the prospects of ministry. And he said, you need to spend time in the Word every day. You can get so consumed in the work of the Lord that you forget the relationship with the Lord. And he warned me against that. So he said, there's something that you can do, and do it repetitively, at least while you're young in the ministry. And there are times I go back to this and practice it. But in the book of Psalms, there's 150 Psalms. Read one Psalm a day, and you've got 3 months covered. Proverbs has 31 Proverbs chapters. There's another chapter. So you have four months covered, and if you take Psalm 119 and break that down farther, then you have some more weeks in there too. But this is relationship. This is learning about the Lord, that we can praise Him, that we can sing His praises. We can, like when we sing today, my bones are going to cry out because you've given me breath. And I use that to glorify God. I would also suggest, these are never you have to do this in order to be spiritual, but I would suggest using some of our free time. And I think of free time as in driving that hour to Boise an awful lot. I think of that as free time. You can listen to the radio, you can work out your finances in your head, whatever you do while you drive. I would suggest memorizing Isaiah 9:6. And especially focus on those four names for the Lord. What are they? Let's read them together. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and meditate on those as you drive. Wonderful Counselor. Is there anything I need counseled in? He's the best. He's the mighty God. And we might drive by and we see rocks on the road and someone pulled off to the side that dinged a rock. And He's the mighty God. God, can you meet them in their need right now? There are people there helping, but You enter that situation. You're the Father of eternity, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. In thinking of just this phrase, be to Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I found this in a flyer, a magazine that we got this week, and it was in The Chosen People, an article in The Chosen People magazine. And it's called The Mourner's Kaddish, a Jewish prayer. And it's part of that prayer. It's think of how they put these words together. Think about it. Let's concentrate. Blessed, praised, glorified, exalted, extolled, honored, elevated, and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed is He above and beyond any blessings and hymns, praises, and consolations which are uttered in the world, and say, Amen. What a list! Do the Jews know how to praise God? I think so. And they put those together and it sounds very, very formal, but it has a depth that I'm not just going to say, well, praise the Lord, which I say a lot. Praise the Lord. But in my quiet time, and I think about what expresses this praise, these words do. And it's lifting Him up above anything that is praiseworthy in my life or in my world that I'm aware of. He is above. He's transcendent above everything in our world. We're to live for the pleasure of Him, of the One. And we are to acknowledge the gifts of God to us. And I've broken the verse down a little different than the NIV, and I've put, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing together. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We need to remember, though, that the message of the Bible is for everyone, everywhere, all the time. We don't want to make it just American. We can make American applications, but the Bible was written for everyone, so we can't say, this has meaning for me when it's an American context and it refuses everybody else. But we have to take it as in it's for the persecuted church too. The people where there might be only two or three believers in a village and there's no church. And if they meet together and even sing very softly, they might get caught and killed. Praise be to the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Has He blessed those people that are in the persecuted church the same as He has blessed us? We can go like this because they're spiritual blessings. We're not talking about material blessings. But the spiritual blessing, the thing that delights believers in those persecuted countries is not because they go without food. It's not because their house was burned down. They're not considering it a blessing when one of their kids had their arm lopped off with a machete. Material things, no. What is it that ties them so intensely to God? It's spiritual blessings that God has given them. I think maybe we are more insensitive to the spiritual blessings because we're blessed materially. And the spiritual blessings are so intense to people without the material, they know what they are. The Jewish thinking in Jesus' day was that if a person was wealthy, God has approved them. wealth meant God's approval. Jesus kind of blew a hole in that when the rich man came in Luke chapter 18 and said, Master, what must I do to obtain eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. Which ones? Oh, the ones that you've been keeping. And he listed them. And so the man, the ruler said, I've been doing these since my youth. And he said, okay then, let's see if they're an idol or not. Go and sell them. Give your wealth to the poor. And then you come and follow me. And the man, it says, went away sad. Now, in the disciples' minds, it was, this guy is really rich. God has evidently stamped his approval on this man. And yet Jesus is letting him get away. He's not approving of him. He said to sell his wealth. And so Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. They have no appreciation for the spiritual blessing of God. Every Christian is the recipient of this, though. There's no Christian that lacks any spiritual blessing. Even the youngest, even the poorest, the Creator's resources provide all that we need to do God's will. Unlike the rich young ruler, contentment, self-contentment, may have been a curse. But a hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Bible tells us, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, a thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said, they will be filled. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that we have everything for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Everything that we need, every spiritual blessing is ours. And so if a person finds themselves isolated in a hospital, you have every spiritual blessing in Christ. There are people who have suffered loss. You have lost in this world, but you have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Job situations people are dealing with now. There's emotional ups and downs. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we need to accept the source of true and lasting blessing. Our lasting blessing is in the heavenly realms in Christ. Two prepositions in, two times mentioned here. In the heavenly realms and in Christ. Do you have your Bible open still? Colossians is just a, let's see, we go Ephesians and then Philippians and then Colossians. Take a look at chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Our source of blessing is in the heavenly realms in Christ. If you visited a Muslim country and you found a Christian and you discovered the poverty of that Christian, but he or she expressed joy because they had blessings in Christ, who could come along and take the blessing away from? No one. Where are they located? In the heavenlies. In Christ. They're very real. But they're not something that some imam can say, take that away from them, make them suffer. Because that is guaranteed and it is distributed from heaven. And no one can touch it. This is all rehearsal, isn't it? You've heard it before. Have you forgotten to practice it? It's sure a reminder to me, because Paul's prayer for followers of Jesus is get to know him better. Back in Ephesians chapter 1. Because as we get to know him better, we'll understand what God's blessing is all about. As we get to know Christ better, we'll understand what Paul is talking about, every spiritual blessing. So in verse 17, in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul wrote, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I don't think we're ever done with that one. Get to know him better. The eternal Son, the eternal Father, eternal Holy Spirit. It'll take all eternity to get to know him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's stand and close. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your blessing surpasses all the enjoyment we get from material things, even from relationships on this earth. Our true blessing is in the heavenlies in Christ. That allows us to enjoy your material blessings, your relationship blessings. Thank you for cleansing our hearts to serve you. Thank you for declaring us faultless. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of his glory with exceeding joy. In Jesus' name.